Okay, have you ever tried to write a sidekick character into your story and been kind of at a loss as to what to do with them or what they should be doing in the plot or how to craft them? Or maybe you have the opposite problem and you end up with so many ideas and so many themes for your sidekick that you suddenly worry if you're going too big or too deep or too detailed with your sidekick character. So where is the dividing line between a protagonist or a main character, I guess I should say, and a sidekick? And what is the function of the sidekick in the narrative, and how should we craft them? So many questions. All right, so we're going to go over all things sidekick characters in this episode. So if this is something that you have ever tried to do or think you will ever do at any point or are just curious about, because let's face it, sidekick characters are really big in mainstream stories, right? So if that's something that you want to learn about, then stay tuned because this is what we're going to dive deep into. Hi there, aspiring fiction author. Welcome to Fiction Author Business School. Do you want to write your stories with ease and confidence? Do you find yourself Googling how to write a fiction book or how to write a character arc? Do you want to create a fiction empire, but you can't even finish the story you're currently working on, and you find yourself doubting it will even be good enough? Hi, I'm Liesl. I too have been writing stories since I was just a kid. I wanted to do something about my fiction writing dreams, but got information overload every time I looked for writing help because there's just so much out there on the internet. I wanted confidence that I wouldn't disappoint my readers and a plan to publish regularly. I knew the foundation of any author career, including the marketing aspect, is a stellar and well-written story, but I didn't know how to be sure that my story was solid. I went on a journey to figure out what really makes readers tick and how to incorporate those addictive elements into my story. In this podcast, you'll find specific, tactical fiction writing tips, solutions to writing more words more efficiently, and secrets to mastering your author mindset. So, put on your fuzzy slippers, grab a notebook and pen and some chocolate, and let's write some fiction. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fiction Author Business School podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome, welcome. We like to geek out about stories here. And if this is not your first time, then welcome back. Today's question comes from author Morgan Dewey. She wanted to know about the sidekick archetype and how to write great sidekicks. And at first, I was thinking that the sidekick is not actually an archetype. It's more like it is a type of character, but I just wasn't really thinking of it as an archetype. But I gotta say, I was wrong about that. When I started doing some research on it, most sources list it as an archetype. And I guess that does make sense because an archetype is less a character in and of itself. It's more like a role or a function in the story that any character at any time can step into. So yeah, you could argue that any character could kind of become a sidekick at any time and fill that function. However, all of that said, when you are writing a sidekick character for your story, you do actually need to kind of adhere to a particular set of criteria in order for that character to qualify as a sidekick, and that is what we're going to talk about today. I have 5 attributes of good sidekicks and 5 functions of good sidekicks. So there's a lot to cover here, but it's actually really interesting when you get into it. And after doing some research on this, I totally want to write a sidekick character now. And I'm sure I have a few sidekick characters that I just have not thought of quite that way, and you probably do too. So you can apply some of these things to your work in progress and see what happens and how much more depth it can give maybe one of your side characters. All right, so let's talk about attributes of the sidekick character first. These are things that you need to give them as a character while you're crafting them, right? Number one is that they need to be well-rounded. I would say they need to be just as well-rounded as the main characters, meaning they do need to have their own backstory. They do need to have their own wounds. They do need to have their own arcs and character development. They need to have their own voice, their own style, their own words, their own, everything you do to plan your main characters, you need to plan the sidekick the same way. Now, I'm going to give you a caution here because even though you're doing the same planning and development with your sidekicks as you are with your main characters, you're not going to show as much of it in the story for your sidekicks as you would for your main characters. And the reason that I'm giving you that as a caution is because, especially as creative authors who love the characters that we craft, the good and the bad, we tend to want to show more of them. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I would resist that urge because the moment that you are showing as much of, both the inner and the outer of your sidekick as you are of the main character, at that point, they cease to be a sidekick, right? They have become just another protagonist. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can write multiple protagonists. Heaven knows I do. That's like my bread and butter, right? But if you want to keep the character as being a sidekick character, then you need to show less of them. And they need to truly be more of a side character. Okay. Now, what does that look like? How do you do that? How do you measure what to show or tell or what not to show or tell? I would say the biggest thing is going to be in the point of view chapters. And this is really just my take on it. Clearly, you can do whatever you want and whatever serves your story. But I would say for a sidekick character, I would keep away from showing their point of view or having a having a chapter from their point of view as much as possible. And the reason for that is that doing that is the fastest way to make them a protagonist. Okay. So, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with having a chapter or two or a scene or two from a sidekick's point of view, especially if logistically they need to witness something that no other character is going to witness and you have to have that for the story, you know, of course. But if it's only a scene or two, then they are not on equal footing with your main POV characters. You see what I mean? So it would still be considerably less and they could still be a sidekick. I said they need to have their own arcs and transformations, and that's true, but I would say they need to be much less in depth than the main characters, both, again, so that we're keeping them as a sidekick and not a main character, and because you're not going to be in their point of view quite as much. So this is like the one place where it's probably okay to show some sort of minor transformation from the outside without getting into the character's head for it. And in a way, that's kind of what sidekick characters do. And there's this phenomenon in literature and stories in general. I mean, it can be in film or in TV or in books or in anything where the audience tends to love the sidekicks and they tend to want to know more about the sidekicks. Think about that. Why is that? It's because we generally get either no point of view from them or very, very limited. So we're seeing them from the outside. Now, your main character and your main protagonist, if you've written them correctly, we should be inside their head at all times, right? So we see and experience, we feel their transformation, all of it, 100% by the end of the book. And that's as should be. But the point is, there's very little mystery there. Whereas with a sidekick, there's a lot of mystery because we don't get in their head. And that's why audiences tend to gravitate toward them and want to know more about them. And that kind of mystery and intrigue and the curiosity that it creates is almost one of the main attributes of a sidekick because we aren't getting into their own head. Now, of course, it's perfectly acceptable, like I said, to do a few scenes from their point of view or to write a spinoff that is all about them, and that's fine. But if you want them to be a sidekick functionally in the story, we need to keep that intrigue, we need to keep that barrier so that we're more witnessing them from the outside than we are experiencing what they're going through on the inside. Because even if you do a spinoff to, you know, that is their story, in that story that's their story, they're no longer the sidekick. They're the main character and protagonist. But in the regular, in the mainstream story that you're writing, if you want to keep them as a sidekick, you need to follow those rules and keep them as a sidekick and not as a protagonist or a main character. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So that's the first attribute. They need to just be very well-rounded, but only shown in a limited way. The second attribute is that they need to be more comfortable following than leading, okay? That's why they're a sidekick. That's why they're usually following one of the main characters. They're one of their people. They're one of their entourage. They're one of their goons. And, you know, keep in mind that a sidekick can be a villain sidekick or it can be a good guy sidekick, right? But the point is, if you have your sidekick constantly stepping up and taking control and leading, then they're less of a sidekick. And, of course, they can do that in certain situations when the person they follow isn't there, maybe. But overall, especially if the person they are a sidekick to is in the room, they need to have a more muted role in terms of leadership. They follow that person, they are loyal to that person, but they're not terribly comfortable leading, and that's why they're a sidekick to begin with. It's kind of the psychology of it. If they wanted to be the leader and they were comfortable taking control of the situation all the time, they wouldn't be a sidekick, they would be a leader, right? So you have to understand the psychology of that sidekick. The third attribute is you do need to have flaws and show some flaws. So this kind of goes back to what I talked about at the beginning, that we need to kind of see them from the outside. And this is actually, it can be a little bit tricky, but it's a really good exercise for you as an author because we need to see their flaws. And to a certain extent, unless you're trying to make a really, really mysterious character, which don't try to do that. Most of you you know, unless you're doing it on purpose, you don't usually want to do that. But we need to see their flaws and we need to understand them, even though we're not getting inside their head. So this becomes an exercise for you about how to show that and how to help the audience understand it, even if we're not getting their point of view. So this can be other people talking about them. They can be other people observing them and drawing conclusions. It can be them talking about themselves, because even though we're not in their head, they could still tell somebody else what they're thinking, right? So it kind of becomes an interesting challenge for you as an author to help show the flaws without getting inside the character's head. The next attribute is that they need not to outshine the main character, so either the protagonist or the villain, but they can be better at them than them at some things. And why is that? Because this is actually one of the functions that I'm going to get to next, but it's because they complement each other really well. So in order to make your sidekick very well-rounded, you know, like I said, you want to give them flaws, but you also maybe want to make them a little bit better at one thing than the protagonist is, so that it's obvious why they work well together. Okay, that's one of their attributes. And finally, the final attribute of a sidekick is that they need to align with your story's themes. Now, of course, you can do that in many, many ways, right? So they can be in perfect alignment with the theme, like their story goes along with the theme and it's very on the nose. And so they are kind of proceeding along the same lines as the main character in their story. But you can also do more subtle or adjacent examples. So maybe it is the same theme, but they're approaching it from a different way. Or, you know, of course, you're giving them a different story than the main character, but they're still going to come to the same conclusion at the end, which is the overarching theme of your story. And then, of course, you could do some sort of anti-theme with them where they, you know, the main character is learning that if X, then Y, and that's the theme, and the sidekick does Y and therefore does not achieve, you know, whatever the theme is. So you could do kind of an anti-arc with them as well. But either way, what happens with the sidekick, whatever their arc is, whatever part of the plot they have or story you give them, still needs to align in some way with the overall theme of your story. So you don't want to put a sidekick in there to tell a completely different story with a completely different theme. That's going to make it really jarring and your story's not going to be very cohesive. And if anything, you're going to kind of confuse your readers because they won't understand what the sidekick has to do with the main character, right? So we just need to make sure that everything is working together toward the same end, which is the same theme. All right, so those were the five attributes. Let's talk about the five functions. Number one, the function of the sidekick is to show loyalty to something and be trusted by them. So again, this can be the protagonist or the villain, but they show immense loyalty and they gain the trust of that main character, okay? The second function is that I talked about this a minute ago, they work together and they complement each other. So very often the function of the sidekick is to sort of make up for the protagonist's weakness. Mm-hmm. Now let's give a really good example of this, which is, I know you all know, is Lord of the Rings, right? Samwise Gamgee is kind of the ultimate sidekick. And where Frodo's weaknesses are, where he failed and would not have achieved his games, that's where Sam steps in and makes up for it, right? So that's a very tangible example of that, but it doesn't have to be quite as on the nose as that either. You can just, it can be a, like I talked about before, it can be an emotional weakness, right? It can be a physical weakness. It can be, maybe you have, you know, we see this a lot in comic books. So maybe you have a hero with a particular fighting style, but he has one weakness and then his sidekick, excuse me, steps in and makes up for that weakness and can kind of cover him for that weakness. Or it can be emotional where, say you have a heroine who has kind of an emotional crutch or something, but her BFF can kind of come in and call her out on that and make sure that she's not leaning on that emotional crutch. And therefore, you know, they just complement each other really well and help each other in their strengths and weaknesses. That is one of the major, major roles of a sidekick. So once again, if you think about what we've already talked about, if you're giving the sidekick 100% their own transformation and you're focusing on that rather than on how they are complementing the hero or villain, then at that point they are no longer a sidekick, they've become their own protagonist. You see what I mean? So again, it's not bad for you to give them their own transformation, but it needs to be secondary to the protagonist or villain. And it needs to be something that's not, that we're not getting from their point of view, that we're kind of just observing outwardly. And that just puts them in a little bit more of a diminutive position to the protagonist, or I guess I should say the main character, because again, it can be the protagonist or the villain. The next function of the sidekick, they have to have an active part in the plot. Okay, so this is something to remember. If your sidekick is just someone who is standing in the background, not really doing much, or just showing up there in each scene, but not driving things very much, then they're not really a sidekick either. They're just a flat stock character. They're like an extra in a movie, right? They're not actually doing much. So you need to make sure that they are a big part of the plot. Pick at least a couple of plot points that hinge on something they do so that they are helping to drive the plot forward. So this is what's really fascinating. And I honestly hadn't thought too much about this before I started researching this, but a sidekick character is like somewhere directly between the main character and the flat stock character, okay? If they have their own transformation, it's not huge and it's not in your face like the main character, but they do drive the plot a little bit, which is more than a stock character would. So they're kind of this really interesting middle ground that we don't think about too much. So they do need to help be an active part of the plot and drive the plot. The next function is that they need to help the main character realize their internal transformation. Okay. So here we're going a level deeper, right? So whatever your main character or your villain's transformation is, if you're going to give them a sidekick, that sidekick needs to help them along toward that transformation. See what I mean? So we very much need to integrate them into the internal arc of our character. And, you know, if they're driving the plot and, you know, the plot is usually driven by the internal transformation or vice versa, then you can see how these things all work together. So once again, your sidekick is definitely not a flat stock character. They're not a main character, but they're helping to facilitate the transformation of your main character. That's pretty huge. That gives them a massive, really important role, even though they're not the main character. And again, probably the best example is Samwise Gamgee, because he helped Frodo with everything, right? He did help drive the plot. He did help him reach his transformation. He did help him, you know, achieve what he was trying to achieve. And if not for him, then Frodo would not have achieved it. So I would say that with the sidekick character, you need to make sure if you're going to, again, you don't have, I keep going back to this because this is something you don't have to do if you don't want to. Obviously, you don't have to have a sidekick character. You can have a side character that is not a sidekick character. You can have flat stock characters that are just there for, you know, whatever reason in the story, but they don't really have much to do with the plot. But if you are specifically wanting to write a sidekick, then you need to make sure that the hero or heroine or villain, the main character, would not have achieved their goals if the sidekick had not been there. They are an integral part of the transformation of the main character. Okay, so let me go over that again. You're thinking, okay, well, I have side characters, but they don't do any of these things you're talking about. That's fine, okay? There are side characters, there are subplots, but they are, if they're their own thing and they are not helping to facilitate the transformation of the main character, then they're just not sidekicks. They're just side characters or subplot characters or whatever you want to call them, okay? But a sidekick specifically is there to be loyal to the main character and to help facilitate their transformation and to help push the plot forward in their favor, okay? And I mean, you could even maybe suggest that if we're talking about the villain and they have sort of an anti-arc or an anti-transformation, maybe the sidekick keeps them from realizing their evil aims, which is actually foiling them and their evil plans, right? Or maybe, you know, I don't know, it could work either way, right? The villain sidekick could help them reach transformation, or they could hinder them because they're the villain, right? Either way would work. It just depends on what you want to do with it. But it's just important to understand the difference between a sidekick and a side character, okay? They, once again, they have to be loyal to the main character. They have to move the plot forward in some way. They have to help facilitate their transformation, okay? Those are really, really important. And finally, they have to assist or accompany the protagonist. So we've kind of already talked about assist, especially where Samwise Gamgee is concerned. But, I mean, even outside of the transformation, even outside of the really dramatic moments, maybe they assist them in a more mundane, everyday way. Okay, so they can assist them physically, they can add tension, They can either fight or help the protagonist fight. They can call out the protagonist or tell them the truth. I kept thinking about King Lear and the Fool, right? If you're into Shakespeare very much. I never really thought of the Fool as a sidekick. He's called a lot of things, but really, because he helps facilitate the transformation and he's calling Lear out on his crap, he really is a sidekick in function. So that's kind of interesting. The sidekick, they can give backstory, they can give moral support. All of these things are ways that they can assist the main character that they're a sidekick to. The other thing is they do need to accompany the main character. So if your main character for most of the story is at location A and your sidekick is at location B, again, not really a sidekick because they're not in the same place. Kind of by definition, they need to be in the same place at least most of the time. Of course, however the story plays out, they can go to different places, but I'd say 75%+ of the time they need to be in the same place. Otherwise, they're not really functioning as a sidekick. Okay? So that is kind of what I have, and that was a lot. That was a real deep dive. Okay, so let's go over them one more time really quickly. In terms of attributes, sidekicks need to have their own development, meaning their own backstory, their own wounds, their own voice, their own style, their own way of speaking, all of that. Number two, they need to be more comfortable following than leading for the most part. Number three, they need to have flaws that are shown, even if we're not in their point of view. Number four, they need to not outshine the protagonist, but they might be better than them at, you know, one or two things, which is how they complement each other. And finally, they should align with the themes, whether it's, going directly with the theme or against the theme or, you know, showing like cautionary tale, what not to do with the theme. It doesn't matter, but they need to align with the themes in some way so that they are cohesive with the story of the main character. Now, in terms of function number one, they need to show loyalty to either a protagonist or antagonist main character and be trusted by that character. Number two, you need to show that they complement the main character in some way, you know, so they kind of step in to cover their weaknesses and the two of them work well together. Number three, they need to play an active part in the plot and actually drive some part of the plot. Number four, they need to help the main character, either the protagonist or the villain, realize their transformation in some way. Number five, they need to assist the protagonist in some way, which can be a physical assistant, adding tension, moral support, fighting or helping the protagonist, calling out the protagonist, telling the truth, give backstory. I mean, myriad ways they need to assist them in some way. And they also need to accompany them throughout most of the story. Okay. So that's a lot. And I feel like we could almost do a deep dive into each of those functions if we really wanted to. So, I'm going to end it there for today because that's what I have. But if you guys want to know more or if you want me to deep dive into those functions even deeper, let me know. You can leave a review on the podcast, which you're welcome to do at any time. I really appreciate your reviews, but your reviews don't even have to be talking about what you liked about the podcast, although they could. You can actually ask me questions in the reviews and I will read them and get around to answering them on the podcast. But you can also DM me at Six Figure Storyteller on Instagram, and I get into my DMs and read messages there too. So let me know what you guys think, and let me know what you guys want me to do episodes on. Don't get me wrong, I've got plenty of things I can talk about, but I want to know what's going to serve you the most and what you're struggling with. Okay. I've also got a few exciting announcements. I've got, I'm still putting together some programs. It's taking a long time. I'm actually a little bit late with this episode this week because I just had a crazy busy couple of weeks, but I'm finally getting back to a regular schedule. I've had a lot of people asking me about a previous course that I had that's called, I've actually changed the name. It's now called Email Marketing for Authors, where I teach authors how to set up email sequences to nurture their lists, you know, turning their subscribers into mega fans, and also guiding them through their backlist to sell books on autopilot, you know, through email. And I haven't had that course for sale in a while. It's probably been a year, but I've had a lot of requests lately about people who want it and want to know where they can get it. So I'm kind of revamping it right now, and it's probably going to be on sale again in the next week or two. So just stay tuned and I will let you know. And then it's probably going to be either the end of April or the beginning of May, I'm going to do a boot camp on how to create a character. We're going to go really in depth, how to create the character wound, how to create the character backstory, how to use the character to drive the plot, what the arc should be, what the theme should be, all of that. It's going to be a boot camp. So I don't have it quite set up yet, but you will be able to register for it. It's going to be free. It's going to be a free event in the next couple of weeks. So just stay tuned for that. I will make sure and announce it here on the podcast and on social media and everywhere else. So I do have some fun things coming up that I'm working on. I'm really excited to present them to you guys. So yeah, let me know what you thought of this episode, what you would like me to talk more about. And other than that, have a wonderful week of writing. And remember, there is always a market for awesome. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening today. Before you go, would you be willing to do me a solid? If you found any value at all in this episode today, would you be willing to share it with other authors just like you in the hopes that they might find some value in it as well? Happy story crafting this week. Remember, only you can bring the world the unique story that you are trying to tell. Only you can succeed in your own unique way in getting it out of your mind and your heart and into a medium where it can reach thousands, if not millions, of salivating readers. You don't have to worry about failure, because there is always a market for awesome.